Amen. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Good morning. It's good to be with you in the community here after having been gone for several weeks. Our summer plans seem to have us traveling a lot. It's good to be back. If I asked you the question this morning whether you would want someone to have complete power over you, what would you say? And I suppose that as we look at history and the rulers who have ruled in the past, I don't think that you could think of one that you would want to be in power over you in every facet of your life. And as we think of the presidential election that's coming up, and the candidates there, don't want to do any mudslinging, but would you want either one of those two to be in complete power over you and your life? And I don't think that even George Washington himself would have been a good person to have in complete power over us in our lives. Power corrupts. I'll read to you the quote from Lord Acton, who said that originally, the exact quote: "Power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Great men are almost always bad men." This is a bit of a cynic there, but power tends to corrupt, and we know that. And generally, the more power that a human being has in this fallen world, the more we are suspicious and are worried, because power tends to corrupt. This morning, I'd like to draw our minds a bit to that one being who has absolute power, and yet he has absolute love. Psalm 62 says that, "To you, O God, belongs power. In you, O Lord, is unfailing love." So this morning, I'd like to just look at a few scriptures. It's quite a litany of scriptures, so you don't have to try to follow along in your Bibles, but just short verses that I tried not to take out of context to show, first of all, a list of scriptures that show how God has absolute power. And then I'd like to move from that into showing from scripture how God, in spite of having absolute power, never once is corrupted by that power. So that's the God we serve, and I invite you to meditate on that this morning as I read through these scriptures. Job 42, the first one to show how God has absolute power. "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." This is from the English Standard Version, all scripture this morning. Isaiah 14, "For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back?" Colossians 2, "God disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Jesus." Absolute power. Jeremiah 17, "Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." 1 Chronicles 29, "You rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." Are we getting a sense of how absolute our God's power is this morning? Daniel 4, "All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. He does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what have you done?" That's our God, absolute power. And one final verse, Psalm 115, "Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases." On that last verse, I'd like to just insert here a small thing from our life, from Esther and I are experiencing right now. I was on the roof the other day with my brother in Minnesota. That's where we were. We were doing a roof in Litchfield, Minnesota. And my brother and I got a text message at the same time. So we stopped and said he would be texting us, and it was our mom. You know, she was sending us a text telling her that the results had come back from the test that they had been doing from a lump in her body, and it was cancer. It is cancer, and they're going to be treating it. You can pray for our family through this time. But this verse that I read last, the last verse on the power of God, is what she had in that text message. Actually, she didn't have the verse. She had the reference. And so when we got off the roof, the first chance I had, I looked it up. Psalm 115, verse 3 had been at the end of her text, and this is what it said: "Our God is in the heavens, and he does all that he pleases." This was the verse that she was claiming during this terrible time. Well, there's good hope. There's going to be treatment. And, you know, we think of that. How can someone take that and be comforted by it? And here's a being who has absolute power, and yet I'm being comforted in that. In my time of deepest distress, I'm crying out to that power. And it's because, through years of serving him, she's come to trust him. You take the case of the three-year-old boys who drowned in Pennsylvania a week or two ago. Some of you may have heard about that, the twin boys. I'm sure those parents, too, are thinking, you know, I'm sure they're crying out to God. But you look at this and you say, is God abusing his power through neglect? You know, because he could, at the flick of a switch, in the blink of an eye, he could stop all these things. And you take indisputed, those are the things that, you know, maybe aren't all. You look at death and you look at sickness and you say, well, maybe it will come out right in the end. And we believe it will. But you take the things that are indisputably bad. Take abortion. You know, thousands of abortions happening every week across the world. Why is God, in his great power, not using that power and stopping these things? And yet we believe he is not corrupting his power. On that, on those difficulties, those things that are hard to understand, let me just read a few more verses. Let me back up, actually. We look at these situations, and we cry out with Revelation 6, do you ever have this experience? O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? But let me read a few verses. Romans 8, I referenced already. Let me read it exactly. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Psalm 37, fret not yourself because of evildoers, the abortion, the sex trafficking, all those ugly things. Fret not yourself. I am God. I'm in control. I've got it under control. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. I have here, despite anything that may seem like a conundrum or an inconsistency with God, despite anything like that that seems that way to us short-sighted and weak people, we cannot deny that he is ultimately working for us and has our good in mind. Psalm 84, the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. 1 Corinthians 9, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. In John 14, the crowning point here of God's love, in my Father's house are many mansions, I will come again and take you to myself. Absolutely he has our good in mind. Absolutely it does not corrupt him, even though it may seem that way to short-sighted us. So the choice is ours. You know, we all have to come into submission to someone. We all have to be ruled by someone. We do not have the choice of escaping the rule of some being. We do not have that choice. So why shouldn't we this morning? The logical response to all of this is to bring our lives anew into a fresh reign of God. The passage that I've been memorizing recently is Colossians 3. I encourage you to look up that passage again and maybe memorize it with me. Colossians 3 talks about getting rid of the old reign, the old nature, putting on the new reign more and more. And Hebrews 12, laying aside the sin that does so easily beset us and running with patience the race that is set before us. I don't know what that sin is in our lives. It's going to vary from person to person, whether it's lust, or pride, or anger, or slander, tearing other people down. I don't know what it is. Identify it, put it off, and let's bring ourselves in a fresh way into the reign of Christ, who is the only one who has absolute power and absolute love and absolute well-being for us in mind. I'd like to close with Psalm 100. May this be our testimony. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Would you please kneel with me in prayer? Dear God, I sense that even as we wish to bring ourselves into complete submission to you, because you alone have a good rule of both power and love, I sense that there's a lot of trouble doing that. We're fallen people. We're fighting sins. And quite frankly, sometimes it feels as though we cannot bring ourselves completely into your rule. But we cry out to you, and we confess that that is what we want. So create in us a clean heart, and give us courage and vision for fighting this fight, and bringing ourselves completely into that perfect power, the power of love. We commit this service to you, and we thank you that we're your children. Amen.